Answering your tough financial questions for the past 21 years, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters with co-hosts Scott Hanson and Pat McLean. Would you like an opinion on a financial matter you're dealing with? Whether it is about retirement, investments, taxes, or 401ks, Scott Hanson and Pat McLean would like to help you by answering your call. To join Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Want more of Hanson McLean's Money Matters? Visit HansonMcLean.com/radio to get the Money Matters podcast.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
So glad you are joining us today as we talk about financial issues. Both myself and my co-host here, we're both financial planners, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We meet with people like yourself during the week and come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. Primarily helping people navigate the whole retirement journey.
And it
preparing
can be
for retirement, going transition into retirement. Number one concern for most Americans when you ask about their finances, it's retirement.
Yeah. How even the studies have shown, even people in their 30s and 40s have started worrying about their retirement, about what it's going to look like. And part of that is because they're watching their parents go into retirement and go through some sort of oftentimes turmoil, both financial and emotional, which is, do I have enough money? Is Social Security going to be there? And how am I going to spend the rest of my life?
Yeah, thinking about what happens when I get old. Most people don't think about when they're 20s.
No.
But as you get a little older, you start thinking, yeah, and you watch parents or grandparents.
Yes.
And you're like, how do I best prepare for this stage of my life? So if you want to be part of our program, this is a call-in show, and we take calls and answer your questions, and we'd love to take yours. 1-888-2-HANSON is the number to be part of our program. 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766. And on that, Pat, we're talking about retirement. I think if you look at what, for example, most baby boomers are concerned with as they are getting older, healthcare's
number one.
Number one. Number two, do I have enough money to last the rest of my life?
What is enough money, right? What is enough money, and do I have enough of it?
Well, what is enough? I mean, ask James Rockefeller, what's enough? And he says, a little more than I have right now, which is...
Yeah.
I've yet to have a client of Hanson McLean. We have roughly 6,000 clients for Hanson McLean. I've yet to have a client call up and say, hey, you know what, Scott? I've got plenty of money. Quit growing the account. No more growth, please. Just freeze it. I have enough.
That's
now.
Good point.
No one quite, it's always a little bit more, right?
Yeah.
But I think the bigger issue is, do I have enough money to make sure that it lasts me the rest of my life? And if I have inflation, do I have enough money to keep up with that? When a loaf of bread cost me $5, a gallon of milk cost me $8.
Where I get my hair cut, they raised the prices in the last month by $2. And I thought to myself,
where do you get your hair cut?
Barber John.
You get a Barber John's.
Barber John's, world famous, almost famous.
What's your haircut cost you?
$22.
So you and I, in the injustice, they raised the price for me.
Which you?
I don't have much hair.
Which is?
I think it's $23. I go to Sports Clips.
Oh.
Because I like the way they wash my hair off afterwards.
Oh.
I think it's $23.
Oh, so, but then I was paying, I thought, man, they've raised this price. It used to only be $15. And then I thought to myself, I've turned into my client.
I remember early on, I've been doing this since 1990. We started Hanson McLean in 1993 with a handful of clients. Today, we have 6,000 clients. We've helped a lot of people at this stage of life. I'll never forget, there was a gentleman, and he was saying, he said, I remember I used to get my hair cut. It was 2 bits.
A quarter,
yeah.
Quarter, right?
It's 2 bits. And now, so I'd get my hair cut every other week. And then it went to, you know, it was a dollar. So I went to every 3 weeks. He says, now it's like $8. I can't afford to get my hair cut, but every 3 months. And he had plenty of money.
Which is why he had plenty of money,
plenty
right?
Plenty of money, yeah.
Which is why he had plenty of money. But that's inflation. I mean, that is that. I use that haircut as an example, and I thought I've turned into my clients. And what we're seeing is that's inflation.
Yeah, and when we think about running out of money in retirement, making sure we have enough money, you know, the older we are when we retire, the easier it is, right? Because you know, we might make it to 100. You're not going to make it to 110. And the statistical chance of making 100, pretty small. There's a good chance you might make it to 90.
Oh, yes. Yeah, or if you're married, one of you making it to 90.
A 65-year-old couple? There's a 50% chance one of you are going to be alive at age 90.
Yes.
That's the statistics right now. So
how do you fight against inflation?
Well, make sure you have some assets in your portfolio that are going to grow with inflation.
Which are?
The things that might appear risky because they're volatile.
Which are stocks.
Ownerships of companies.
Yeah.
And over the long term is their best hedge against inflation.
As long as you could psychologically deal with the volatility in that portion of your portfolio. And the easiest way to do it is to kind of view that as long-term money and other dollars as short-term money so that you're actually protecting principal with your bonds and cash positions, and you're protecting against inflation with your equity or stock positions.
Yeah. Well, hey, let's take some calls again. If you want to join the program, your call can be on anything. It might have to do with your retirement or inflation or outliving your money, or you're behind on your retirement savings. Now what the heck are you supposed to do? 1-888-2-HANSEN is our number. And we're going to start off with Sarah. Sarah, you're with Hanson McLean.
Oh, hello.
Hi,
you
Sarah.
You guys are a real kick. You're a real kick. I love your show. I love listening to you.
Thank you.
You make money laugh. And I'm one of those ones you just talked about. I'm 76 years old, and I'm frightened to death. I've been poor when I was a kid, and now I have saved sufficiently. I keep working. I'm 76, so I keep working part-time. And I'm delaying gratification. I thought about moving to another state to save money, but my family's here. I'm alone. I have to support myself now. I wanted to live near my grandchildren, but California's expensive. So,
How long have you lived in the same house? How many years?
I've been here 21 years, and,
okay.
it's a condo. It's a townhouse.
Upstairs, okay.
Townhouse.
And what kind of work do you do?
And I'm a marriage family therapist.
Okay.
But I work for the military, and I go to different bases and work with the children of the deployed soldiers.
Wow.
And sailors. And yeah. So,
that's cool.
So I still work part-time. I had a practice, but then I gave it up. You know, now they're going to identify me. Everybody out there is going to say, oh, I know who she is. And they're going to hear how much money I've got.
That's okay.
So I hope I'm okay.
It's all right.
See, I'm worried. I worry.
Don't worry about it. They're not going to take your money. So let me ask a couple questions. How much do you earn approximately on this job?
Well, depending on how long I work. Now, this year, probably about $60,000.
Did you say 60?
About that.
And you get Social Security benefits, which probably...
I get Social Security, and I get a retirement from the state of California.
Okay.
And that runs... I get about $3,300 a month total on those two.
Got it. Social Security and pensions, about $3,300 a month. Well, that's a nice base to have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I keep working, but I'm also 76, and I don't know how much longer I can work.
And what's the value of your home?
Okay, I figure $150,000.
Okay, and do you owe anything on it?
No.
Okay.
Beautiful.
What other assets do you have? Money in the bank or retirement plans or anything like that?
Okay, I've got $400,000 saved. And let's see, $125,000 is sitting in the bank doing nothing. I've got $200,000 in bonds. And I've got $75,000 in the company. They have some sort of thing, and it pays 2.2%.
Okay. It's called a GIC or guaranteed interest contract, something like
that.
Is this all a 401k account?
Let's see.
Through work? You retire from the state? Is it with the state?
$200,000, $250,000 is the bonds are a 401k. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And a SEP IRA.
All right.
And
And you're taking distributions now too, right?
I have to take distributions.
Yeah, because you're 76.
So what's your question for us?
Okay, what do I do?
Because it sounds to me like you're doing great. I mean, I'm thinking, you've got a job that's an intellectual job, engaging. You're adding value to people's lives.
They're letting you work part-time.
You've got a home that's paid for. You've got a pension and Social Security.
And you're worried.
Yes.
All right. So here's
what... I need to invest this.
Well, I don't know if you should change much. The only thing in your portfolio that would concern me is possibly those bonds. And it would just be the length of the bonds.
Yeah, just make sure they're not too long.
They're not too long. The maturities aren't too long. You would be considered in the top 10%
of retirees. Whether you believe it or not, that's reality.
Yeah. And you should not move to a different place. You should stay where you're at.
Are you having trouble working now? Are you like spent, burnt out, or?
No, I'm tired, but I've got a lot of energy. I mean, yeah, I've got a lot of energy, but I just get tired. It's tiring working with children all day long, and you're 76. But I probably get tired at 25.
Oh, there's no point. Yeah. So you're worried about running out of money? Is that what you're worried about?
Yes.
Sarah, you should not worry about money. And the reason you actually have money is kind of what we talked about earlier, is because you worry about it, right?
Yes.
You show me someone that doesn't worry about money somewhat, and I'll show you someone that probably doesn't have any. So it's a normal thing to worry about money. It's a normal thing to worry about running out of money. Yes. And it's just like with all these other with the patients you work with, most of the behavior is normal. It's when they actually start acting on these normal behaviors in an abnormal manner, correct?
Exactly.
Aren't you talking to a therapist, Pat?
Well, I spent a lot of time. Behaviors. I spent a tremendous amount of time talking to therapists.
Well, so
some of my best friends are paid therapists.
So the $200,000 in the bonds, just make sure they're not too long. But
yes.
Should I take them out of bonds and put them into the stock market?
No.
Yeah, the stock market's going to crash.
No. So what you would look at is, you said you had the $75,000 into this guaranteed interest contract. Is that in the same plan that GIC is the bonds?
No, one's with my company. One's with my company. That $75,000, and then the $200,000 I put with some investment man who forgot to send me my RMDs, and so I was penalized.
Did the investment people pay the penalty?
No.
Mm-mm. Oh well, that's number one. That was.
Oh, I'm very wounded and hurt. I'm scared to death of investment people now.
Okay,
so I'm thinking about taking that away from him and putting it somewhere, but I don't know where to.
Sarah, don't put it in the stock market. I don't see the benefit because you're just going to worry more. It sounds to me like you want to keep. So here's your options. Let's say tomorrow something happened and you couldn't work anymore, right?
Uh-huh.
Something happens, Sarah can't work for whatever reason. Here's the options you've got available to you. The $400,000, I'm not saying you should do this. I'm just saying these are options. One is you could take those dollars and essentially buy another pension from an insurance company.
Or take a 6% distribution on it, which would actually give you $2,000 a month.
You can go somewhere and someone would guarantee you that for life with that.
Yes. And $2,000 a month in addition to the $3,300 a month that you're already receiving.
Right.
Here's what I think you should do, and I don't know if the plan will allow it. I would call
See if you can move more money into the GIC.
See if you can move more money into the GIC. I would call the plan that you've got at work there. You have the $75,000, and I would say, can I roll an IRA?
Or a SEP IRA.
My $200,000 into your plan and invested in that guaranteed interest contract. And if they say yes,
then go for it.
I would do it tomorrow. If you were sitting in my office and you were a client, I would say, take the money and take advantage of these GICs, because that is a great rate of return. I wouldn't expect it to continue to pay that much, much longer, but it's a great place for it right now.
Okay, so what do I do with the money that's in the bank? $125,000.
Oh, just leave it there.
I'd be just
Yeah.
You know, and I look at the money. I mean, I keep some money in the bank too, Sarah, just because I'd like to have. You know, you never know what happens, and you just have some. And I get just as frustrated when I look at the interest rates.
But if you want,
you could buy a CD.
If you want to get a little bit higher rate of return, and you're comfortable, you can go to Ally Bank, which is an online bank. Or you can go to Synchrony Bank, which is an online bank, and you can get a higher rate of return. Or you're in the Sacramento area, correct?
Yeah.
You can go to Beal Bank and buy a CD that's going to yield 1.2% or so. And so those are the highest yielding types of FDIC insured accounts you're going to find.
Yeah, just around one, a little over one.
A little over one.
But it might not be a bad idea to take maybe $100,000 of it and put it into that.
Buy a one-year CD.
A one-year CD.
Yeah.
Just one year.
I wouldn't go out.
Yeah. But quit worrying.
Don't worry. You're in good shape.
Quit worrying, please.
And if something happened tomorrow and you couldn't work, there's a lot of other options to generate income. We didn't even talk about a reverse mortgage. Which
no, we never even talked about a reverse mortgage.
That's a last resort, but you've got lots of options, Sarah. Don't worry. And
So if I can't work tomorrow, if something happens and I
can't
work, may I call you back?
Absolutely.
Would love to help. And,
all right.
And by the way, I'm tickled that you're 76 and you're working with the children of the military family.
How lucky are they?
I know.
How lucky are you?
How much what?
No, how fortunate both the children are that get to work with you, and how fortunate are you that you get to work with the children. It's a blessing.
I love it.
It is an absolute blessing.
That's my missionary work, I think, for the Lord.
And the nice thing about this missionary work is it pays well.
Yeah.
I think you guys are just lovely. God bless you.
Oh, thank you, Sarah.
Thanks for being on the radio.
Thanks, Sarah. Appreciate it. Well, we're going to take a quick break now. Stick around for more Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Are you a sports fan? Each year, teams spend the preseason getting ready for their big opening game. Well, retirement's a little like that. The difference is that instead of a yearly preseason, you spend your career getting your finances in shape for a retirement that could last 25 years or more. Think of Hanson McLean as the coach that gets you ready for your retirement season. For a free retirement readiness consultation, visit us at HansonMcLean.com today.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Again, if you want to be part of our program, we'd love taking calls. 1-888-2-HANSON. And we've had of so many different types of calls over the years from... I was asked the other day, Scott, do you ever have a... How often does a caller call and stump you guys? And I said, almost never, because it's those things that are so obscure, it only applies to 0.01% of the population.
There's basically 30 questions that get asked in different ways. But when you boil it down, the questions are fairly similar. There's always a slight, caveat on each one of the questions or slight bent, but most of them are pretty, should I say basic? I shouldn't
they're
say
not,
basic.
No, they're not basic. They're challenging.
Actually, that basic is what my kids use as an insult to each other when they call each other basic. That's an insult.
Really?
Yeah.
I got to get with the latest slang. I'm always one step behind. All right, let's go to the calls. Doesn't have to be basic. It can be extremely complex. 1-888-2-HANSON's the number. We're talking with Richard in Danville. Richard, you're with Hanson McLean.
Thank you.
Hey, Richard.
And hi, how you guys doing?
Actually, quite well today.
What can we do for you?
Well, okay. My wife and I were 60 years old, and our current asset is we got $320,000 in a 401k. My IRA is $95,000 and slowly growing. I've got a small Roth IRA, $12,000. Got a savings account about $40,000, and my home is paid off, and we estimate the value around $900,000.
Good.
The thing that is I'm calling is that I just got a notice from PG&E that I can start receiving my pension payments either in one lump sum or roll over to a Roth IRA or traditional IRA or take a monthly annuity payment.
All right. So let me ask a couple questions. What is the monthly annuity payment?
Let's
Did you leave PG&E years ago? Do you have some sort of deferred pension payable at age 60?
I left a long time ago.
Yes, you're not a traditional. You're not a normal retirement because I don't think this is available for a normal retiree.
A normal retiree at PG&E does not have a lump sum option. So my guess is you have a deferred vested pension. So you left sometime before the age of 50 is my guess.
Yes.
Okay. So what is your monthly pension that they're offering to you?
Okay. They had many options. Write it all down.
Give me the joint and survivor, the highest one that provides some benefit to your wife. It's called the joint and survivor. It's probably the second one.
It's the joint and survivor annuity benefit.
Mm-hmm.
It's $649.79.
Okay. And it gives, and so then the non-joint and survivor is probably about $715 or so?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
And then how much is the lump sum?
The lump sum is $102,826.03.
And how long can you defer this monthly pension for? So you don't have to, you can push this off until you're age 65 or 70, is that correct?
Yes.
And what's the latest you can push it off till?
I do probably believe 65 is the max.
Okay.
Are you retired today?
No. I think I got about a couple more years before I go.
Got it.
Okay.
What are you inclined to do? What do you think's the right thing to do?
Well, I was thinking of taking the lump sum and use it to pay off a rental house that I still owe about $140,000 on.
And what's the interest rate on the rental house?
It's about 3%, 3.5%.
Okay. What's your health like? Are you in good health?
So far so good.
You haven't had like 6 heart attacks, anything like that?
No, but my joints are starting to feel.
You're 60. All right. So
you got a bad knee.
Assuming you're in good health and assuming you have a normal life expectancy, I would like you to defer taking the monthly pension as long as they'll possibly let you. And that's till age 65. And let me tell you why. And then let me tell you why, if you go talk to another advisor, they're going to probably give you some different advice. So the upside in this is that the rate of return on that money, if I took $102,000 right now and I put it in an account and you lived a normal life expectancy, and your normal life expectancy age 60, according to the IRS, is 25 years.
Okay.
Then that $102,000 would have to earn about 6% per year in order to provide an income of $650 a month. Right?
Wow.
So that is risk-free, assuming you have a normal life. You have
But if you live longer, then it's even better.
Then it's even better. If you'd live shorter, but because that's why I use the joint and survivor, because that is actually the one you're going to take is the joint and survivor benefit. Most likely, you might want to take one that provides like an 80% benefit to you and 80% benefit to your wife, the same benefit to your wife at your age. So they gave you a bunch of different options, correct? So the reason you're going to take that is because it's a 6% rate of return. That's why you're going to defer the monthly pension till age 65.
And you'd be better off if you want that rental payment off. Just say, well, I'll take these dollars. While you can make the rental payments while you're still working. So I'm with Pat. You're still working, not retired. I would defer this because it's a 6% growth there. But when you do retire, if you want to take it at that time, then just have those dollars go to pay the
mortgage.
Because if you take a lump sum and try to use it to pay off the mortgage, it's all going to be taxed to you. It'll be adding $102,000 onto the other income you have.
So that's why that is
be taxed like a fat cat.
But the real number we call the hurdle rate is, what kind of rate of return would I have to do on that $102,000 in order to match the same pension as you're going to get? And it's 6%, and that is a guaranteed 6% with a normal life expectancy. No one's going to be able to. If someone promises you that, an advisor or a so-called advisor, run away. There's no way in the world anyone can guarantee you a 6%
rate of return.
Not in today's market. So that's why you want to do it. The arguments that you're going to hear on the other side, go down to any bank. Go down to the bank with the guys with the stagecoach and ask to talk to one of those guys that sits in a corner. And they're going to tell you.
Now you're picking on them. Okay.
They're going to tell you all about what happens is if you die. And if you die, you're going to lose this benefit or that benefit. But the reality is the numbers are in your favor, not against you. And to get rid of some of that risk.
And if you're concerned about it, look at a five-year term life insurance policy.
But he's not. He's got enough of their assets. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not that big of a deal. So the second decision you're going to need to make is which one of those five or six options that they gave you in order to take the monthly pension. And I'd be inclined to take the one that provided 100% benefit to your wife, assuming she has a normal life expectancy.
But
that's what I was looking at. Yeah,
defer, and then call us when you're retiring a few years out.
Or if you want to sit down with an advisor to look at that right now to help you make that decision. But that you know, just off the top of my head, that's the way I would go.
And we do have a couple of great advisors in the
San Francisco Bay Area. So.
All right, we're up against the clock here. We're going to take a quick break for the bottom of the hour. Again, we'll take calls when we return, 1-888-2-HANSEN. Stick around for more Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSEN. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
All right, welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson here with you.
Pat McLean, thanks for staying tuned in over the break.
Yeah, 1-888-2-HANSEN is the number to join our program. You know, it's been interesting. We've seen a decline in investment management fees of investment products and commissions approaching free. And in some cases,
free.
Free.
Actually, some beyond free. There are... You go to a discount broker, and if you deposit X amount of money, they will give you...
They'll give you credit in your account.
A credit in your account.
Yeah.
With the hope that you're going to spend that credit on their products and services. Yeah.
Now, one thing I was taught as a child was there's no such thing as a free lunch.
Right? Yes.
But we look at some of these. So, for example, Fidelity came out with some no-fee exchange-traded funds. It's been a race to the bottom with these big firms.
No fee.
No fee.
Means internally, the fee is zero. They're doing it for free.
A number of firms have come out with no transaction fees to trade.
That isn't. Oftentimes, the no transaction fees.
The funds are more expensive.
The funds can be more expensive.
They are more.
Normally, they're more expensive.
Yeah, I mean, the whole concept of having a brokerage account where you can buy any sort of mutual fund or exchange traded fund you want, that really, Charles Schwab, the company, was one of the pioneers in that area.
Yeah.
And I forget what they called it, though.
The supermarket.
They didn't call it the supermarket.
Yeah, but everyone else did.
In our industry called the supermarket, whatever. But they had, they said it was no transaction fees to buy their funds.
But they had they only had a select list.
And the select lists were all much more expensive because what would happen is, The brokerage firm, and Charles Schwab wasn't the only firm that did this. Many firms did this. They would go to these mutual fund companies and say, hey, tell you what, we're going to go ahead and list you in our special list where we're not going to charge our customers any trading costs to buy or sell your fund.
But
you need to pay us.
Yeah.
So shelving fee.
So let's say internally their fees are 0.5% on any of these funds. They give a percentage of that 0.5% to.
And a standard fee years ago was 0.4%.
But they actually were higher in many of these supermarkets.
Yeah, I mean that was the fee that they would the shelving expense, the back end expense.
Yeah, if it was a grocery store, it'd be called a shelving expense.
There are still firms out there that operate this way.
Yeah, on the back end.
They get a back-end deal, which is one of the reasons why at Hanson McLean, one of the reasons we're big fans of no loads and index funds, why we do use some active management. We don't have any back-end arrangements with anybody. We want to be completely agnostic and completely transparent.
As I think many RIAs are.
Many independent advisory firms, yes.
Yes.
The majority of independent advisory firms.
Independent.
It's purely true independent, not...
Not tied to a brokerage firm.
Not tied to a brokerage firm, which many...
Yeah.
Are still tied to brokerage firms. But so we've seen what it's been a good thing for the investor. We've just seen a dramatic decrease in the cost of investing over the years.
So why would Fidelity actually come out with a no cost, zero internal fees ETF? Do they charge a ticket charge or trading cost on that? Do you know?
I doubt it. There's to buy their ETF.
Yeah, their no cost ETF.
I don't think so.
So why would they do that? What's the business rationale?
They like losing money and they want to lose it as fast as possible.
Well, maybe it's like the airlines, right? The discount airlines. What is the discount airline? It's only $19 to get on the plane, right? But
have you flown in one of those? The really bad experience ones?
Yeah, I have actually. I have. I have flown in one.
Where they charge you to bring your bag on?
They charge
your
you
carry on.
Yeah, for water. If they could, if there was a way they could make the one I was in, if there was a way they could make you put coins in to use the restroom, they would have.
I'm sorry, sir.
You know when they do the seatbelt thing at the beginning of the flight,
they charge you for.
I expected them to come by and sell seatbelts
extra, but it's required.
Yes, I expected it. So it isn't.
We shouldn't be comparing Fidelity to.
In the retail business, and don't.
And in full disclosure, Fidelity is one of our partners. We house some of our assets at Fidelity, as we do at Charles Schwab, as we do at TD Ameritrade. We're agnostic in that as well. But
they are a retail establishment. Don't forget that for a minute, right? If you're. Clients are retail. It is a retail establishment. Why would you give something away and know you're not going to make any money on it? Although they make a little bit of money. Let's talk about how they make money on these. No,
that's what we're trying to explain to
but
people.
But the main motivator is to get people into the front door, to sell them other goods and services. That's the main driver. Things that they know they're not going to make money on what they're advertising, but they're hoping that you're going to consume other products in which they manufacture that they will make money on.
Yeah, and they might recommend.
Where do many brokerages firm make a lot of money is on their cash deposits. The money you have sitting in cash is a huge profit center for broker dealers.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't so much a year or two ago when interest rates were so low, but now that interest, right, your own bank account, you've seen. Interest rates have risen, but your bank account really, my family bank account is at Wells Fargo because I've been with Wells. My wife was with Wells Fargo before I met her. We've had same account. We've been customers since 1986, according to my checkbook register. That's what it says. Kind of stuck with Wells Fargo because it's such a pain to switch. But I just noticed the other day, I'm like, the interest is, I think it's about the same as what it was
when,
year and a half
when
ago.
Interest rates were zero.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're still treating me like
so as these interest rates go up and they're not paying it through to the consumer, they make more money on it.
Significantly more. And so these brokerage firms can make a lot of money by when their clients are just sitting in cash.
Right.
And hope to buy something else.
They can
and most people don't have 100% of their portfolio invested for long term.
They can make more money by them recommending other goods and services, right? Other investments, other mutual funds or exchange traded funds, and they make money by actually lending
securities.
Securities. What does that mean for the average consumer, Scott? What is lending a security?
And here's where
mean?
It starts getting a little confusing, and that's why most listeners to Hanson McLean's Money Matters here be like, "What are you talking about? Securities lending?" So, Elon Musk has been in the news quite a bit this year.
Yes,
if you follow any sort of the financial news stuff. And
or you have a Twitter account.
Okay. But so Elon Musk, he's been complaining that his stock is the most shorted stock and out there. People shorten his stock all the time.
And what does the short mean?
A short is when you are betting against a stock price. So there's a lot of people that are saying this Tesla's too high. We think it's coming down. They're betting against it. And the way somebody can do that is they will actually borrow stock. So let's say Pat is an owner of Tesla.
Which I am not, but let's say I was,
and
hypothetically.
So Pat owns Tesla because he believes in the long-term prospects of the company. And let's say I believe the company's, the stock price is going to go down. So I say, hey, Pat, can I borrow your shares? I'll return them. I just want to borrow them for a while.
And I say, sure, but I'm not going to do it for free,
yeah,
Scott.
So you'll charge me something for it. Fine, I'll pay a fair market price for it. Now that I've got the stock, I can bet against it.
By you selling it.
Yes. I can sell it, a stock that I don't have, because I've just borrowed it from Pat. Then at some point in time, I need to close out the position. I buy it back in the marketplace. I give it back to Pat.
So he might, Scott might say, okay, Pat, lend me your Tesla share for 90 days. And for that, I'm going to pay you
whatever,
a nominal fee. But I promise to return it in 90 days. Scott then borrows the stock, sells it, hoping that the price falls in value of that stock.
And I have to have an account at a brokerage firm where I have some excess money there in case the stock price falls. They protect themselves.
And then at the end of 90 days, Scott buys the Tesla shares back, hoping that it had fallen in value, and then returns it to the lender. So how do these no-cost exchange-traded funds make money? That's how.
That's how they make money.
But that's not their main motivation. Their main motivation is to get a client in the door to, I believe, I can't say definitively, but I believe the biggest motivation is to attract
that
new
might
customers.
Be for the bigger firms, but we might see somebody, some firm arise that
just starts, a small firm and
just starts with free. Yeah. It's an interesting time right now. And I think for most part, it's good for the consumer, good for individual investor.
No question.
Yeah. So anyway, if you want to join Hanson McLean's Money Matters, you want to call in with a question that something you're grappling with, 1-888-2-HANSON is the number. 1-888-2-HANSON and 888-242-6766. By the way, that don't have any concern that a firm is doing securities lending. That wouldn't be anything to lose any sleep over whatsoever.
It's not going to affect you at all.
I would not worry about it whatsoever. A bigger issue might be the fact that these index funds now have this huge voting blocks because so many companies are now held in index funds that Vanguard, Fidelity, BlackRock have tremendous sway
on corporate governance.
Yes, which is an interesting, that's a whole nother topic entirely. Anyway, 1-888-2-HANSON to be part of Hanson
and
McLean.
Tune into the future for the greatest conversation ever about corporate governance. You do not want to miss that.
1-888-2-HANSON. It's very important. We're not making light of it. It's just this show's primarily about having individuals be better educated, better empowered to make wise choices with their retirement dollars. So let's go to Sacramento and talk to Joseph. Joseph, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Great. How you doing, Joseph?
Just had a few questions about retirement. So I joined the Army when I was 18, and they're currently offering early outs at 15 with full benefits. The only downside is that you only get 80% of the return.
80% of the pension benefit.
Yeah, instead of the full 100, which if I live to be 90 would pay me roughly an extra $250,000.
How much is the pension now versus 5 years from now?
I right now it's my pension is at it's guaranteed for up to 1.4 million.
No, but what's the monthly amount?
Oh, I don't know off the top of my head. Sorry.
Okay, so what is your question for us then, Joseph? What are you trying to figure out here?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. What do I need to know if getting out now is better or waiting the extra 5 years?
Got it.
And getting the full vested.
So there's a couple things here. One is opportunity cost.
Yes.
And opportunity cost, because you're 33 years of age, and if you retire right now, you'll start receiving this pension immediately, correct?
Correct.
All right. So you've got opportunity cost for that 5 years versus opportunity lost for the rest of your life at the 80%.
That's right.
And the other opportunity cost has to do with you as an individual.
That's right.
And your skills and what kind of income that you would command in the marketplace. And then the last thing is money is a huge motivator in life for all of us, but hopefully for all of us, it isn't the only motivator in life.
Nor the primary.
So tell us a little bit about your prospects for employment if you leave the military today.
If I left the military today, I could definitely easily get a job in the civilian sector at about 65 an hour.
Okay. So that's $135,000 a year approximately. How much are you making in the military?
I barely scrape by at 80.
Are you married with a couple kids?
Yes.
Okay. What do you, first of all, what do you want to do?
What do you think you should
do? What does your wife think you should do?
Well, in terms of serving, I love it. Just, I find the bullets keep getting closer and closer every deployment I take. My last deployment, I took two in the plates, and that really got me thinking about this early out option that they're offering.
Holy smokes.
Thank you, by the
Thank
way,
you.
For your service. So I was going to say, if you were my son, but if you were my son, I'd probably be thinking, get your butt back home. You know, you've been doing this a while, and you dodged the bullet.
Yeah. So I've already done 9 deployments.
Wow.
And my shortest deployment's been 14 months.
So let's... Scott, what you don't know what your monthly pension would be now. You just know it would be 80% of what it would be if you lasted another 5 years, if you served another 5 years.
If I take the early out at 80%, it's guaranteed for $1.2
million. That's over the lifetime. The lifetime. That's adding up.
You don't know how much. You don't know what it would be per month.
No, as of right now, I don't.
Here's what you got going for you right now. It is an extremely tight labor market, right? Unemployment rates extremely low. You're highly confident you can go out and get a job at $65 an hour right now. Okay? So the reason that to consider leaving, other than the health aspects of might getting killed somewhere, right? To put it bluntly.
Right.
It's a good time right now for you to be entering the workforce, the labor market, because you're highly confident you can get a job at a great rate that probably wouldn't have been the same several years ago. And there'll be another time in the future, nobody knows when, but there'll be another time in the future where it'll be more of a challenge to enter the workforce.
Would you go into civil service or private employment?
It would be private employment.
So you're not working for a county or municipality or a state?
No, it would be a utility provider.
Okay. All right. Is it, this utility provider, is it electrical or telecommunications?
It's electrical.
Oh, is it PG&E?
PG&E is offered.
Oh, yeah. This is easy. This is, Joseph, this is, you made the decision so much easier, because one of the things that we would look at is saying, okay, well, I'm giving up that benefit, that pension benefit, by leaving early. But based on PG&E's pension plan, I believe that you would be better served beginning at their pension plan at age 33 than waiting 5 years in order to participate in that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, is that the sooner I get on with PG&E, the sooner I could also get vested with them and then eventually retire.
I have a little brother that actually works at PG&E, and I've looked at their benefits, and we have, I'm going to dare to say, hundreds of clients that have retired from PG&E.
Or still work at PG&E.
We work with PG&E employees quite often. We understand their pension benefits very, very well. It is a great pension plan. It is a great pension plan. So my recommendation to you, even, I appreciate that you took two bullets to your plate. I can't even imagine what that's like. But my recommendation would be take the early and immediately maximize the 401k.
At PG&E.
At PG&E immediately.
From a pure financial perspective, our recommendation would be to leave the military and go work in the private sector as soon as possible.
Yes.
Based upon the information you've given us.
Yes. You know, if you said you were going to go to, you know, Joe Smith's plumbing company, I wouldn't be as enthusiastic about it as if you're going to work for.
PG&E's already made the acceptance offer letter. Basically guarantee me a job
in a minute.
As long as I get out within the next 8 months, which my first, the earliest I could get out is 6 months out. So then I would have to move to wherever they need me and start working for them in less than 2 months after I leave the military.
In a minute. And would and where are you calling from now, Sacramento?
I live in Sacramento, but right now I'm up in Sparks, okay, Nevada.
And where would you, do you know where PG&E would move you?
No, they haven't said.
Maybe they are the next area that burns.
Yeah. So the only downside in this is if you get moved to a really expensive.
Yeah, but he can always rent somewhere for a period of time and
move up the ranks in the.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would do it.
Yeah,
I think
it's a great opportunity.
I would do it,
Joseph. All right. This is the pro time in Hans McLean's Money Matters. We are going to switch to real advice. And our real advice segment is where we talk with a real life financial advisor as part of Hans McLean. And hear a story about how they worked with a client. And keep in mind that when we listen to a client experience, this is unique to this individual client, and you may have a completely different experience. And today we've got Steve Sprobach, and Steve is out of our Cincinnati office with Simply Money there. Simply Money's part of the Hanson McLean Group now. 37 years as a financial advisor, which is quite impressive. And so, Steve, thanks for taking a little time to join us today.
Oh, great to be with you. 37 years. Boy, that makes me feel old.
You know why? Because you are.
Oh, all right. This is going downhill in a hurry.
I actually didn't realize you were that old when I'm reading this. That, you know,
no
37
kidding.
Years. But so tell us about the situation you encountered and what happened here.
Yeah, it's sometimes we get wrapped up in complex strategy. How do you take advantage of the latest tax law change? And it's a good idea to take a step back and realize how important just basic financial planning can be. Can I tell you a quick story?
Please, that's the whole point of you being on the program here today, Steve. So thanks.
Scott,
37 years.
Scott, we want the people that work with us to like us. Do you not get that? And that, did you not take a management course ever?
I'm just teasing them.
All right, on with your story, please, Steve.
I didn't like Steve. I wouldn't tease him.
Exactly. We had a relationship for years with a large employer here in town where we would be invited on site and meet with any employee that wanted to come in and ask questions. So I would meet anybody from the custodian to the executive suite. And I still remember meeting one individual. He was 58, 59 years old or so. And first thing he said when he sat down, "Hey, is this confidential?" "Well, yeah, and everything we talk about stays here." "Great, I'm sick of this place." And that's the cleaned up version. I can't tell you the actual words that were said, but it was obvious. He was fed up and he wanted to get out of there and he wanted to retire. He wanted to retire yesterday. I asked him when and he said, "Well, I want to retire now." He was kidding, but he wasn't kidding. I'm sure you've run into that. So I explained what a financial plan is and sat down and took the information, asked him to come back in a week. And we sat down, and this happens every once in a while. Retiring now, yeah, that was out of the question. I mean, that just financially was not realistic. He kind of knew that, but unfortunately, retirement 3 or 4 years later at 62, no, that wasn't realistic either. And 65 was even a little bit dicey. So I made some very specific recommendations. Nothing fancy, but, spend less, save more. Let's take a look at your 401k. Are you using the best choices? Are you putting enough in there? Let's make some changes to how much you're putting in there and play that out and see how that much improves things. Let's look at your debt. He was hung up on how much do you owe on your car? "Well, my payment's $350 a month." No. What's your balance? We really went down to the nuts and bolts of where his money was going and how it was working for him. So a year later, sit down, do the exact same thing, update his financial plan. Good news, 65 is actually working because of the changes you made. This guy became laser focused on what he needed to do to get out of working there. Another year passes by. 62 is starting to look pretty good. So, okay, we're gaining some ground here. Good.
So at age 60, when you met him, he couldn't retire at
58.
He's 58. So now he's within, he could see it, right? And he's focused on retirement. You told him specifically, exactly. This is how your behavior needs to change, and he changed it.
And he was one of the few people that did exactly what you asked them to do. So one more plan update. This is 3 years after I first met him. I'm jacked up because I just ran a plan, and I ran it as you're retired now, and it showed no real concerns, nice safety buffer. We can have a rough market, and it still looks pretty good down the road. I'm excited to sit down with him because I can tell after 3 years or so, I can tell this individual, you can retire today if you want. I was kind of nervous because I was afraid I was going to tell him that, and he was going to run down to HR, and we got a little problem.
So we're almost out of time. Steve, what did he end up doing? So you go through this process. How long was it before?
He sat there when I told him he could leave, and he just smiled. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, you just told me I can walk out when I want. I'm going to stay on my terms for a while. He stayed there another 2 years. The reason the story's fresh, I sat down with him 2 weeks ago. This is 5 years later. He's been retired 5 years, nowhere near the anger and anxiety that he had when he wanted to get out of there. He's loving life and just bought a 57 Chevy. He's driving around in the summertime. Life is good for him, and it just brought back to me, you know what, we might do a lot of financial plans over the course of a week, but for that person, that might be the first time he ever really examined what he needed to do. And in this case, if we hadn't met, if he did not take some of the advice that I gave him, his life would have turned out a lot differently.
That is the
a good feel-good story.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that, Steve.
You.
I appreciate it.
All too
and
common.
Appreciate the fact that you had Hanson McLean. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Join us next week for Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, a registered investment advisory firm. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor, tax consultant, or estate planning attorney to conduct your own due diligence.
What matters most to you? Probably family and friends, but what else? When you're in your 20s, it's one thing. Your 30s and 40s, another. When your 50s creep in, you're older and wiser, but the sand in the hourglass of your asset accumulation stage has shifted. Right now, you're listening to Scott Hanson and Pat McLean. Sure, they've been hosting Money Matters for 20 years, but they've been CEOs of Hanson McLean Advisors for longer than that. If you're over 50 and you've been saving for retirement, you're probably wondering how your preparation stacks up. Here's what you should do. Go to HansonMcLean.com and either schedule a free consultation with one of our credentialed advisors, or if you're not quite ready for that, maybe take a look at some of the helpful materials in our learning library. You'll see tutorials, podcasts, and articles on things like Social Security, retirement planning, investments, and a whole slew of other things that can help you retire well. Over 50 and starting to see retirement up ahead? Make sure you do it right. We can help. Go to HansonMcLean.com today.